Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday and we are live, the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. So much to get into today. And we are joined in studio by today's friendly co-host, Sunil Osman. How are you?
I'm good.
Nice to see you, dude.
You too, man. It's been a while.
You haven't been to our new digs.
No, I'm really enjoying it.
You like what we've done with the place?
Oh, it's amazing. There's books and everything's so perfect.
So great, huh?
I love the mural of Mandela. It's amazing.
So that, I actually have a real artwork. It's not expensive. It's not like it's some kind of thing that I bought at an auction for millions and millions of rands. Mm. But I've got a similar picture at home.
Okay.
In my sitting room. And I thought, you know what? You got to try and personalize the set a little bit. So make it like stuff you'd actually have.
Yeah.
Plus, I think, you know, there's not a lot South Africans agree on. There's not a lot everyone on earth agrees on.
Yes.
But I think we can agree he was like, you know, a fairly good influence as opposed to some of the other people.
I think
right?
Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela.
Yeah, I think he did okay.
He did all right.
Yeah, he did.
His books are a bit thick.
He did better than most of us. Yeah. So how are you? What's news?
I've been good. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen you. I mean, a lot has changed.
What's changed? Have you got married? Have you got seven kids?
Not seven kids, but I actually did get married.
Well, that's very good news. Yeah, okay. Do you like the girl?
I don't like her. I love her.
Oh, that's very good. That's okay. You know her, though.
I know her very
It wasn't
well.
Arranged.
No, it wasn't.
Because I know with you Indians, you know, occasionally, you know.
I'm not that kind of Indian, eh? Not that kind of Indian. I can't even take hot food, Gareth. I mean, I don't like to shower upside down, you know.
No, listen. I read the most amazing thing. This is probably about 2 years ago, but those arranged marriages.
Yes.
And I mean, I was only kidding. You know that. But,
yes,
some fucking idiots who's going to listen to this now. And go, oh, my God, he's stereotyping all the Indians. Those arranged marriages, like they have in places like India, very traditional families. Higher chance of the people staying together than the love situation.
But that is because they don't want to go anywhere else.
No, it's probably true. But I think it's interesting, right?
It's very interesting.
Just on an average, they do better. They stay together longer. Don't know if they're happier. Mm. I mean, who knows who's happy? Because people lie as well.
That's true. You know,
if I have to see one more, by the way, if I see one more survey of how happy people in Finland and Denmark and Sweden and Norway are, shit my pants. They're not happy. They don't even have the sun for more than 3 or 4 months of the
year. That's true. I mean, I was in Alaska. I was walking around the street at 4 o'clock in the morning. The sun was still out.
Oh, my God.
The thickest black curtains in the hotel room ever.
But they put those time-lapse videos up now. Oh. And you never actually – the sun is always up. So it just goes like this in the sky. Yeah. It doesn't actually dip in summer, obviously. Winter, the opposite. You never have the sun.
Do that with your hand again. We were just speaking about Indians and you're here dancing.
Here I'm doing. Listen, when is Diwali again?
Every year.
No, it's every. God, you're so funny. You should take up this comedy thing.
I did for 9 years.
No, because I ask because.
I think it's end of the month.
It's soon.
Yes.
And then people shit themselves because of fireworks and my dogs have to, I have to lock them up. Because of this Diwali thing that, you know, all my Indian neighbors.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that with the dogs, I mean, I spoke to a friend yesterday and she was saying she got more scared than a dog.
Well, that's why a dog's probably an issue.
Because the dog is
You know, it's like parents. If your children are badly behaved, it's because you're a bad parent.
That's true.
If your dogs are badly behaved, usually before I have some, like, lunatic cat lady phone me and like shit on me, because everything I say on the show now, just people immediately, you know, you can always tell when somebody is in their own head the whole time.
Yeah.
Because they relate everything to themselves. So in other words, I could talk about cured ham.
Yes.
Okay. For the desire of talking about something completely out of left field. And there will be someone who calls in and says, well, you know, when I last had cured ham, that's not the point. We're talking about the subject. We're not talking about your experience of the subject.
Mm.
And there are some people who, as soon as you talk about something, they immediately have to make it about their own experience with that thing. I mean, you probably haven't seen any of this. Most people wouldn't have. But since Friday last week, I spoke about old Liam Payne from One Direction.
Yes, I did see that.
Turns out, by the way, they published his tests, the toxicology tests, COVID negative, all the drugs positive.
Wow.
all the drugs. He did like cocaine, pink cocaine, MDMA, ketamine. Well, this guy was on. I'm surprised he could even find the balcony door to
maybe
jump
he was up. Trying to actually walk across a bridge.
Probably to the other world, and he did. He succeeded. Yeah. Let's give him credit where it's due.
Yes.
Anyway, I spoke about this, and you cannot believe the number of people who have messaged me, especially on Instagram for some reason. I think maybe like all the woke people who fled Twitter when Elon Musk took it over, they've all gone to Instagram.
That's my X, because it's the X.
Yeah. And
it's my X.
And there's an exodus, obviously, of these fucking lunatics. Because then they go on Instagram, and the kinds of comments I've been getting, apart from the overwhelmingly positive people who've said, like, thank you, you know, you're saying something that's true. Because all I said, basically, is that life is too precious, suicide is stupid, and you're a very selfish, very dumb individual if you kill yourself over your feelings.
Yeah, if you haven't reached out force.
Your feelings are a terrible thing to use as a barometer in life, right? Because they change all the time, and they're just the result of chemical activity in your head.
Yes.
Your head, your brain has the ability to be a chemical laboratory and create happy or sad chemicals.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And some people obviously struggle to make the happy chemicals, and some people need other external chemicals to help them get there.
Mm.
But the kinds of comments, I mean, apart again from the majority of people who are like, yeah, we agree with you or whatever, or disagree but have a point to make, there's always those people who are like, but I know someone who.
Yes.
Like, I just wish we could get some people to understand that anecdotal, personal experience, lived experience stuff is not evidence.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just a story.
Yeah, and often you find that a lot of those people who are making those comments are actually speaking from a point of ego for themselves.
Well, it's the only purchase they have on the issue, right?
Like, that's it.
They haven't ever thought about it. They don't know how these things work.
Mm.
They also think that because they've experienced something, like let's say, oh, I've got a friend who died of a drug overdose.
Mm.
Then they think they're an expert on drug overdoses.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I'm like, we all know someone who's done something dumb. That doesn't make you an expert on dumb.
Exactly.
Does it?
No, it doesn't.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how, like, you also bring up a statistic. You say, for example, 80% of arranged marriages, to go back to that, last longer than...
Well, if you're getting arranged marriage at the age of 8 and 11, you don't know much.
Well, okay, but let's not get distracted. So I'll say, for example, 80% of arranged marriages last longer than 80% of marriages where people fall in love.
Yeah.
And then invariably, you can almost go like 10, 9, 8, and by the time you get to 1, there's somebody who's like, but I'm not like that. I didn't ask you. You may think you're some kind of miracle outlier, but we're not talking about individual cases here. We're talking about the statistic, the general, the mean.
Mm.
Did you ever do maths and take 20 numbers and find the average? You know, take the 20 numbers, divide them by 20, you get the average of those numbers.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't want to hear about number 14.
Yeah.
These people are incapable of doing those kinds of calculations in their heads.
Yeah. Well, standard grade maths, and you know, now with the mathematical pass rate of 30%, it kind of helps.
Maths literacy. We've got a bunch of people.
Some people can't even spell the word literacy.
Maths lit. They don't. They call it maths lit because they get beyond like the T and they're like, what happens next?
Yeah.
So my favorite example of this is you'll say, you know, women drivers crash more cars than men drivers, which is a fact, by the way.
Yeah.
And then you'll get someone saying, but I'm a very good driver.
Yes.
You're like, no, Cheryl, I wasn't talking about you. We were talking about the statistical average.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, I mean, now everyone's an expert on mental health because, you know, they've got a kid who's on ADHD medicine. So they want everyone to know that their kid's on ADHD medicine because they think that that's actually a bit of a flex.
Okay.
Like they actually, I've got such a clever kid that he needs to be on meds because he's too advanced. Yeah. That's really, deep down, that's what they're saying. They just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, also, they want to be part of something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and they want to be special.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be a bit special. Special.
Yeah.
Right, of course. So that's been happening, which has been hilarious. And I got talking to someone last night because I went to this dinner about, you know, how there was this kid who took a phone. They smuggled a phone into an exam because it's exam time.
Yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
And they were using ChatGPT to help them answer.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
There was this kid who was behaving strangely in the examination room, and the teachers kind of observed him for a little while, and then they figured that he was sitting there and inputting stuff into ChatGPT for an essay question. It's not even like he was answering, you know, just for one mark, answer the, you know, what's to complete this
the 20 numbers and
equation
statistics.
Or whatever. Yeah. This was like an essay, which he was using ChatGPT for, and he was sitting there with his phone. Now, usually they have metal detectors and all kinds of things to stop people from taking their phones, and somehow this guy smuggled it in. And the teacher, she wasn't the teacher who was in the hall, but she was telling me the story. I mean, we thought we were breaking the rules when we had crib notes on the inside of our pencil cases.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I remember I had this like mess of a pencil case, and all over it were written scientific equations because they never gave us the equation. You the equation in the examination questions. But we used to like, I'd try to hide it in the scribbles on my pencil case. And I'm like, all I have to do now, I mean, if I wanted to know that stuff now, just get on. Everyone has a phone.
Yeah, but I'm just come back to the crib notes. I spoke to a gentleman 2 days ago. And because he was complimenting me on my tie, I was dressed for an event.
Oh, wow.
And then
nice.
You're saying that back in the day when he was at school, they used to have those ties with a clip, an elastic band.
Like a clip-on tie.
Yeah, yeah. No? And then they used to have this elastic that stretches here. So they used to stretch it out and write the notes, the crib notes that. And so that when it goes up, you can't see it. Them.
Wow, people are really industrious. Yeah. There's always going to be a new way to cheat.
Exactly.
Huh? It's like these companies that hire hackers because they want to like leapfrog to the people who are at the very leading cutting edge of discovering ways of cheat coding, essentially the system.
Basically.
So I think that's fascinating. But if you are going through exams at the moment and it's stressful and all the rest of it, it's not the worst thing. You'll get over it. It'll be fine, but good luck.
Yeah.
You know,
do you
remember anything that you wrote in matric?
No, but I do remember the one maths paper. I didn't know what the hell was going on. So I just wrote something random down. And I just wrote, look, I still passed it, so I'm good.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
I remember.
Take the
yeah. Yeah, I did get one distinction, which is great. No, it's for Closer.
Okay.
So.
Very, very nice. You got a distinction for Closer.
Yeah.
Very good. Closer's improving.
It's my Shabin language.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's go to the comments. I see people are busy here. I like that dyslexia is hard to spell and that Lisp has an S in it. That's the level of evil I aspire to, says Conga Chris. That's fantastic. Yeah, I agree. That's very good.
How many people who have a Lisp do you know that actually has an S in their name? That is the thing I find a lot.
Oh, my God. I remember a kid who was at school with me, and his mom named him Keith.
Yeah, Keith.
With the and she couldn't say the th like Gareth. She would say Gareth and Keith. It's like, oh, yeah. Surely she knows. Like,
Must be.
Well, do you think people like that can't hear that that's how they...
Maybe that's how they're trained. So you have to... We're naming you this from as a child, and we're gonna keep teaching you how to lisp for the rest of your life, so that people can make fun of you at school level.
Well, that would be very cruel. Very cruel. Okay, lots of people talking about Sia and Rachel Khaleesi. People are very upset. Carl DeSantis is like, when Diana and Charles got divorced, I'm heartbroken for Sia and Rachel Khaleesi. Are you upset?
I'm more upset, and I'm getting in trouble for this, but I'm more upset for the colored community.
Why are you upset for the colored community?
Because they say that black people marry white people to make more coloreds.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were running low on coloreds.
I prefer mixed race.
I didn't know we were running short of coloreds. Do we have too few coloreds?
I don't know. Ikviti.
What's the proportion meant to be? Are we meant to have a certain quota of coloreds in the country?
I don't know the statistics, Gary.
But they've made their children.
They have?
Yeah, they've got kids.
So maybe it's actually going to spread some more.
More white women.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it took me a long time to even realize, because I don't pay attention to sports. I don't watch a lot of sport, and I don't read like You magazine. So I didn't even know. I thought Rachel was black for a long time until I saw a picture of her.
Rachel?
Yeah, no, I thought like it was a, you know, you get people who have names that sound like they are white names, but I just assumed like he'd married a black girl. And then eventually I saw a picture. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like Musi Maimane's wife is white. And like, it's not a thing anymore. It's not like, wow. It's a, back in the old days in apartheid, it was obviously a thing, right? Yeah. Like if you saw a black girl and a white guy dating or vice versa, it was a big thing.
Yeah, you had to run to Botswana in case you get locked up.
Well, yeah, because there used to be actual rules, the Immorality Act.
Yeah, yeah.
That the old regime.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we were joking about the
colors. Can you imagine calling it the. Can we just point out, like, calling it the Immorality Act?
And it's like, this is what are we going to call it? This is exactly.
So to those Oaks, it was immoral for you to love somebody just because they had a different skin color. Yeah. Immoral.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, obviously we're joking about the coloreds and things, but I mean, when you travel beyond our borders, that's when you realize how young our nation still is, because it's not unseen that you'll have a Filipino marrying a black guy from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Love is love, man.
I feel kind of sorry for Rachel and Sia just because they're in the public eye, so now everybody's going to want. I mean, they've had to release the statement. Like, we mutually have agreed to have a very adult conversation about this. You know, they have to use a lot of words.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll never forget when that idiot Gwyneth Paltrow and idiot Chris, what's his name, Coldplay? What's his name?
I want to say Hemingsworth.
I don't know, whatever. No, man, the dude from Coldplay, they were married, remember? And then when they got divorced, they called it a conscious uncoupling.
Wow.
I was like, you guys are working way too hard.
Well, maybe Sia and Rachel would still be together if their marriage was arranged.
Maybe. Hey, that's what we've learned. Got to get your marriage arranged, and then it will last, you assholes. All right. So if you think I give a shit about Sia's marriage, they must think again, says Patrick. Well, not everybody cares, clearly.
No.
Some people really don't. CAW license plates, aka George drivers, are by far the worst. They are worse than Eastern Cape plates. Okay, Congo Chris is bringing up something that I'm telling you, I used to say this.
Yeah.
And I used to get huge amounts of like feedback from people, positive and negative. In Gauteng, the worst drivers are not GP number plates. They're just not. The really bad drivers in Gauteng are Free State number plates, Mpumalanga number plates, Northwest number plates, Limpopo number plates.
And Noor, ND.
Oh, and from, yeah, and from KZN. You're right.
Yeah.
Because KZN has kept that thing where you can actually tell roundabout where someone's from.
Yes.
The old system, like each province had their thing in front or at the back, and then they'd have like some letters that indicated you were from a certain town or whatever. But we don't have that anywhere in the country now except for KZN. So NUR is for Umhlanga Rocks.
Oh, wow. No. I didn't know that.
NT, Tongaat. ND used to be Durban, still
yes.
is.
Yes, yes.
So that's what those things mean.
Oh.
But I have found in my limited experience, again, this is not objective or scientific. This
we
is
are not targeting anybody.
No, and this is you don't have to message me. Well, I'm from the Northwest and I drive nicely. That's how we're asking you here.
Disclaimer
like I found
done.
That the four provinces that immediately surround Gauteng just produce some of the most terrible drivers. And when they're in Joburg, I don't know, maybe at home they just drive a bit better. Maybe we drive badly in those provinces. But I would like to know. I mean, defy me if you've had a completely different experience and try to be as objective as possible. Like, you can't just base this on the one Free State driver who took your parking yesterday. There are people who drive extremely badly in Gauteng. So I'm just going to say that they come from other provinces.
Yeah, I think there's also like there's a weird, when you drive in traffic in Gauteng, you find the people are like, really urgently wanting to go everywhere all the time.
Maybe, hey?
And I mean, I was not involved in the hijacking, but I was at a traffic light on what is now called Winnie Mandela Drive.
Yes, old William Nichols.
That's the one. And there was
this they only changed it because they were cheap and they only wanted to complete from WI on. They kept William Winnie Mandigizelamand, but they got rid of the last bit because they thought they'd save money on the first two letters. Is that bullshit?
You'd never know. I mean, I was at the traffic light and these guys jumped out of a taxi,
yeah,
and they were coming towards my car, but then they hijacked the person next
to me. Oh, Jesus. Guns, this all happened right there in front of
guns
you.
Guns and everything. And then the people had to jump out the car. They had the guns against the head. They jumped into the car. And instead of doing something, when the traffic light turned green, the people were hooting so that these hijackers
hurry up,
have to drive.
Yeah.
It's been too normalized.
Oh, my God. Gauteng is a rough place. Hey? Apparently, there was a shooting yesterday at some mall. And, you know, they now people in Gauteng are just like, well, just avoid that area. It's not like, oh, my God, there's a shooting.
Yeah, avoid
it's
the like, area.
Avoid the area. There's yeah. Shots have been fired. I hope they don't cause too much trouble in the traffic this afternoon.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is how it is. By the way, a lot of people reminding me that they actually have the number plates with the town also in the Western Cape. So, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Apparently, if you are in – and people make a big thing about this,
yeah,
that –
You know, we're speaking about the hijacking.
CY. People hate the CY. Belleville, Durbanville, northern suburbs.
Yeah.
They don't like those number plates because those are often very bad drivers.
Yeah. I'm just thinking now about the hijacking story I told you about now.
It's very hectic, yeah.
But also, have you ever seen a cash in transit on the freeway?
No.
Those guys are so decent in the way they do it. They don't just attack. They redirect traffic to say, we're going to be doing this right now. So unless you want to get in trouble, they will start parking and blocking the traffic, redirecting the traffic.
The crooks,
while they're busy doing this cash in transit. Very, very, very considerate. Very considerate.
Okay, well, I didn't know. So now we have to give some credit to cash in transit heist people.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I'm learning new things every morning. It's ridiculous. Ooh, the damn worst drivers in KZN are from Camperdown in C. This is what Eleanor says. She's got a major bugbear about Camperdown drivers. I didn't even know. Tell me where Camperdown is.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they the worst? I mean, let's cast shade around today. Why the hell not? Let's just upset everybody who's from Camperdown.
Yeah.
Can't be a lot of people there. I've never heard of the place.
Maybe it's just called campaign and it's like down people.
Maybe. Hey, Dr. Robin says, anyone remember the plates and the vehicles from Lebua back in the day? Those drivers were universally terrible and their cars were the worst. I don't remember it, but okay.
So if you know so much about the license plates, what does the B stand for on the police ones?
I don't know what it stands for, but I know that all the police and government cars in general are B. In my head, I think it's bureaucracy.
Most probably.
Not sure. That's what I think.
Big boss.
Yeah. So Judas says shooting was at the Clearwater Mall yesterday. There we go.
There we are. Yeah.
Carl says I think it was. It's just confirmation bias. There's so many GP license plates that when you see a different one, you notice. It's just a factor of averages. I think you're probably right.
Yeah, probably.
You're probably right. Those cash in transit heist guys are proper. Yeah, and they armed to the teeth. Eh? They have. Like hardcore weapons as well.
Yeah, but I mean, they have these massive guns. You just want to know where they get it from. But I mean,
the police.
Bullies.
The bullies.
Maybe that's why they call them Buddha.
I don't know. Anyway, it's the Bs, and then obviously you get the diplomats as well.
Yes.
They have the D number plates. Somewhere in there is a D.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, each of the different countries has a different kind of sequence of letters as well. So you should be able to tell from what letters or numbers there are,
yeah,
what country diplomat that driver is. I'm not sure, but that's what someone said to me once.
Maybe
screwed
somebody
if
can
I know.
Give us some clarity on that.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody knows exactly how that works, that'll be cool. Just so we know. Because often, you know, if you're going to get crossed with someone in the traffic, which a lot of us do, you want to know more about them.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't know who you're getting cross with.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than when you assume it's a woman or it's a guy or he's black or he's white or he's old or he's young or she or whatever. And then you drive past and you're wrong. That's terrible.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You feel like such an idiot, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh, damn, I was convinced that was an old grandma. And you drive past and it's some young dude.
Ex-biker with big hair.
This is exactly why you shouldn't lose your temper with people and actually cause any trouble at the traffic lights, get out of your car, anything. I mean, you know, you can't tell. And then this enormous guy gets out.
And you're like, have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. Very quickly change your mind.
Here's my cool drink.
I stopped getting road rage. Well, I didn't stop. I learned to avoid the unnecessary pain and anguish that road rage can cause in your life by listening to podcasts.
Oh, wow.
Much better. Because you're obviously concentrating on the drive, but you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right? That's true, right.
And so I'm into the discussion. So my brain is too occupied and at that point unemotional to get upset if something happens in the traffic. Whereas if I'm actually only concentrating on the traffic, like if there's no talking, if it's music, I'll still get upset. Because music actually, if anything, is like an emotional trigger.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it can be beautiful. It can make you very happy and very positive.
Depending on what you're going through.
But similarly, there is music that will put you in a foul mood.
Yes.
And I find if I'm listening to people telling a story or talking or I'm learning something, highly unlikely that
because it's calming your energy. It's distracting.
I think so, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think maybe that'll work for people who are who are uptight in the traffic.
Yeah, so next time you have a taxi driver jumping out at you because you're looking at them the whole time, just put on a podcast for them.
I think by then it's your luck is out, you know? By then you've already moved into the danger zone. All right. Apparently Camperdown is in the Midlands. Does anyone care? No, not really. Oh, the B in police stands for bribes. That's what
there Cena we go. Says. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Sense.
That's very good to know. Yeah. Remember, driving with worn shocks is dangerous, but driving while female can be even more dangerous. Slippery pickle going for the low-hanging fruit of being rude about female drivers.
Yeah.
Okay, but, you know, we'll take all comers this morning. We are winning in the Eastern Cape, says Kevin. Reporting slummies drivers are so shit called aiming. But our mayor says nothing. This guy, Kevin, you can hardly write.
What is going on? We
Kevin,
are winning.
Kevin didn't pass basic. Talk about maths lit. I don't think he got English lit.
No, get an SUV or double cab.
What's he talking about?
I have no
idea. It's a big pothole. Kevin, are you high first thing in the morning?
Well, cool.
I mean, dude.
I have no idea what's going on there. Maybe do that.
It's very embarrassing that you went and wrote that. I mean, he must be, I don't know, maybe he's typing while he's just woken up. Who knows? You know, you're a bit groggy when you wake up.
Yeah, that's what all the capital letters are all over the
maybe,
place.
Maybe, huh?
Not grammar Nazis, but we just...
No, this is, you don't have to be a grammar Nazi. This is unintelligible.
Yeah, I know. Maybe he's using ChatGPT.
I don't think so. I think ChatGPT would do a much better job. You know how many people are using that for all the things?
I was a bit tipsy the other night. And I came and I asked ChatGPT, why do my fish prefer my wife, and it gave me an answer.
Okay, first of all, that you are getting drunk in order to have conversations with ChatGPT is a big problem. I think your self-confidence is at an all-time low, Sunil.
It is terrible.
I think that's one of the most depressing things I've ever heard. Second of all, that you ask it something like that.
Yes. It was very interesting, the response, though. It said that she might have a more friendly approach towards the tank.
But they fish.
They fish.
Fish don't even have brains.
And my cockatiels land on my wife's head.
Oh, so
pets love. I don't know whether it's the way. And I'm the one that's feeding them, but...
But they don't love you.
It's the pheromones, maybe.
Yeah, I think they sense that you've got unstable energy.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we should switch to cell phone numbers now. If you are bad, we'll call you. Well, there's that interesting idea of, like, if people could put their number on their rear view mirror, for example, I mean, on their rear window of their car.
Yeah.
So that if they were driving terribly badly, you could message them. But can you imagine all the accidents then of people reading their messages?
Well, they're already on the phone.
Yeah,
the time.
That's probably why they're driving badly, right? So I know they've tried some of that stuff somewhere in the world. It's
phone
a disaster.
Numbers. I saw something yesterday about that. I mean, how people remember their first telephone number but can't remember the password they created yesterday.
More information. I know you need to know this about Camperdown.
Oh, yes.
It's a wealthy, underestimated town with farming. There's big money there, apparently. So lots of money in Camperdown. Who knew?
Oh.
Hey, everybody. If you're from Camperdown, then let us know.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Maybe that's why they drive so badly, because they're on the farm.
Smiley face wants to know, what podcast do I listen to? Oh, all kinds. I have a big library. I listen to a lot of history podcasts.
Mm.
I listen to, you know, discussions between academics. I listen to interviews, all kinds of stuff.
Mm.
I'm constantly changing it up, because it's like if you go to gym and you do the same exercises every time.
Yes.
It's eventually not going to help you.
Yes.
Right? You're just not going to make any progress. So you have to keep changing it up. And I actually think that that's probably a good idea also for friends. You should recycle your friends every couple of months. Make new friends.
Why not?
You got to keep the muscle, you know, from atrophying.
Yeah, but that does happen. Eventually you find the person you spend 6 hours with, you need to only spend 30 minutes
that's
with.
That's right. There's some people you only need 30 minutes with.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? All right, Leslie says, I wish we could BT into the vehicle radios around us in the traffic and talk to the drivers, like Bluetooth.
Yes.
So imagine how that would be abused.
Wow.
Because again, I don't think people are at their best. I don't think this is a stretch, but people are not at their best in the car.
Yeah, no.
Especially first thing in the morning. I've often commented on how I'll wake up and I'm in a good mood. And as soon as you get in the car and you drive and you look around you and you see how glum people are in the
traffic. Yeah.
I mean, people are really sad.
Yeah, they are.
They've got these, either they're sad or they're cross. You know, they've got these angry looks on their faces. And you think, so early to be cross.
Yeah.
How can you've already had the worst day ever?
Yeah, that's a nice way to carry the energy throughout the day.
Yeah, and I promise it wasn't the traffic light's fault. It doesn't hate you.
It's a bad podcast.
Yeah, but the traffic light doesn't hate you just because it was red.
Yeah.
And you wanted it to be green. That doesn't mean your whole life is falling apart.
That's like, if the traffic light is working as well.
But a perspective. Because, you know, you get these people, fuck. As soon as they like come up to a traffic light and it's red and you're like,
it's meant to go red.
That thing doesn't care about when you get there. It's on a timer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And the timer just doesn't sync with your driving.
Yeah.
Maybe if you drove a bit faster, a bit slower, your life would improve.
Yes, exactly.
It's just bizarre. Yeah, people will find any sign that shows them they're on the right or wrong path.
Hello?
And if they're determined to be on the wrong path, they'll find something.
Yeah, everybody has triggers. And sometimes
like you with the fish.
Yeah, no, I look at them every day and I'm like, you know, I've just fed you and
you hate
me. You don't like me.
How do you know they like your wife more? How do you know with anything with fish? How do you know fish are, they just swim in little patterns. They go round and round, almost like figure of eight.
They play chasey.
Really? What kind of fish are these?
They're just two goldfish.
Two stupid goldfish.
Yeah.
And you're worried about what they think of you?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like I'm the one that feeds them. But when she walks past, it's like, hey.
Really? So they get excited?
Yeah, they get excited. Lick their tails.
And you feed them?
I feed them. I clean their tank. Maybe I look like just the worker.
They hate them. They hate you.
They don't like me.
This is terrible. Sunil, I'm very, very disappointed. I think you should flush these fish. Get new ones.
I would. Maybe I should. No, shame. I love them.
You love them?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to explain this to me. It's like people who have reptiles. And,
yes.
So I have a dog.
Yeah.
I've had cats before. I've had birds and rabbits and all kinds of things.
Mm.
Birds are okay, but they're not particularly affectionate animals. I mean, they're better than fish.
Yeah, well, my birds are very affectionate.
You said what?
I've got two cockatiels.
Cockatiels.
Very tame.
The ones are the...
Yes, they fly and they talk.
And they talk?
They talk, yes.
And they've got their, like, the rosy cheeks. Yeah, right.
The male does. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And what are their names?
Georgie and Georgina.
Oh, very original.
Totally.
Georgie and Georgina. Okay. So have you taught them any bad words?
I think the one says tsek.
Tsek.
Yeah.
It's very South African.
No, I like no. She was younger. So if she doesn't get food, tsek.
Okay. But birds, okay, fine. Like I can understand a bird. Fish, zero personality. People who have reptiles, there's no way you can have an affectionate relationship with a reptile.
Have you ever fed a goldfish from your hand? So it eats out of your hand. You can tame fish to eat out of your hand.
Because they're so stupid. That's not a sign of affection. They want the food.
Well, they just look at you like...
No, dude. I think you need more interesting pets. A lot of people criticizing Kevin for his illiteracy this morning. Kevin had his morning nyaupe, says Bitcoin Boot. Kevin is chatting and driving with maths lit. The fish prefers your wife because they're attracted to the same smells as Bitcoin Boot. That is revolting. What is wrong with you?
Oh, my gosh.
After 30, your friends are your friends. You're not interesting enough to make new friends, says Carl. Do you think that's true?
No, I don't think so. It all depends on where they match your energy.
Hang on. Why am I even asking you this when you're trying to be friends with fish?
Well, at least they don't talk back, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you just want someone to shut up and listen to you. Yeah. I like that. I keep changing podcasts or taking breaks from them, but never this. Do you sprinkle muti on those mics, Garrett, says Mapelo. Well, Mapelo, you're part of the family here. You're part of the furniture. By the way, I saw the chairperson of the comment section, Ruth, yesterday, and Rebellious Ruth, and she has decided that she's going to abdicate her responsibilities as the chairperson of the comment section. Oh, wow. So I want to tell everybody in the comment section today, the chairmanship is up for grabs.
Wow.
Basically, anyone who feels that they want to take responsibility for the entire comment section and kind of marshal everybody, keep them in order.
Except for Kevin.
Good luck. Listen, it can't be Kevin. But anyone else, we're happy to have you step up and take responsibility this morning. All right. And not just this morning, but going forward. Ruth is like, she's had enough. It's too much. She can't bear it. It's making her tired. It's being in charge of the comment section is exhausting for her.
Yeah.
And she's very busy. So she said she'd be happy to hand over the responsibility. So anybody who wants to take that over, it's now available. You want to be the boss of the comment section? We'll give you a special title and everything. I've already appointed Congo Chris. Did I? No, I didn't. That wasn't an actual appointment. Don't bring your HR rules to me.
Okay.
We don't follow those HR rules here. There's no such thing. You know, like those people who go for a job interview and they interpret it wrong that they got the job.
Oh, yes.
And then they like sue the company because they think they were employed.
Yes.
That doesn't happen here. Here, I just change my mind capriciously and you get, it's a dictatorship. It's not a democracy.
Well, maybe
and
we sue the hate comments.
And we don't have rules in HR here. Mm. There's no HR department. This is an autocracy, okay? And I decide on a whim that we're going to have this person or that. So audition as you wish in the comment section.
But if you get too many people, then maybe you can have somebody responsible for Monday, Tuesday, you know.
Oh, this is interesting. Silas says, it's a coup d'etat, not an appointment. So basically, it goes from the bottom up.
Yeah, okay.
There's a revolution. All right. So you wanted to talk about Afrikaans TikToks.
Yes.
Are you doing these?
Yeah. So I'm doing quite a lot of Afrikaans TikTok videos.
Why? Is that where the audience is?
I think it's, you know, so I'll tell you the background behind it. So I shot a movie called Skapoor.
Of course, when I think of sheep farmers, I think of you.
Well, there we go. But I was at Grow a whole handlebar thing and everything.
Really?
Anyway. So when I was doing the character work around this guy, you're allowed to criticize this. He was an Afrikaans Indian gangster.
Oh, wow. That's a good combo.
No. The calmest person on the planet becomes this gangster.
A gangster. So you were a badass.
I was a badass.
Do you like playing bad people? Because most actors love to be the bad guy.
I find it's hard sometimes because it's not who I am, but also when I get into the character, that's who I am.
Really?
The character just becomes alive. And that's when you find a respect for the character.
Can you switch it off when you get home, or is that why the goldfish hate you?
I think that's why the goldfish hate me. It's method acting. I'm like, yeah!
I think maybe I'm just predicting here there may be some trouble in the marriage if he takes his bad character. Poor wife then has to deal with your
She
bad.
Actually helped me do a reading the other day for a casting I was doing for a series. And when I was in the character, she got a bit of a jolt. She was like, what is going on here?
So you were so convincing and scary.
Which is a good thing, I think.
So tell me more about this.
I was working on this character who had a mix of Afrikaans and English in the script.
Yeah.
And so I started making these videos just for feedback and things. And then I realized that people actually enjoying them. So I thought, okay, well, Afrikaans is my second language. I'm not Afrikaans.
Oh.
And I started putting out videos. And for the past couple of years, it's just been growing and growing. And videos have gone viral.
So when did they make the UK, when did they make this show with your character in it? How many years ago is that?
Skapur is now, it was released last year.
Okay, so it's not so long
ago. Not so long ago, but it was during COVID and everything, oh. So there was a bit of a break. And then the videos have been going viral, and now what I've done is I've looked at the way that people are commenting, and I've realized that people are actually Googling how to say certain things. So I'm supporting the Afrikaans language.
Listen, you carry on like this, it won't be long before you're singing with Kurt Darren and Karleen van Jaarsveld.
Well, funny enough, I mean, I've got some really. I met Joe Black the other night, and he's an Afrikaans singer from Pretoria North as well, and it was brilliant. I mean, can I show them quickly?
No, go ahead.
So one of the followers,
Sunil, are you also wearing a branded jacket? Yes, look at that. Look at this guy.
This was sponsored
got
by
a Sunil Osman jacket.
Yeah,
this was sponsored. And then you've got I would say there's a lot of narcissism going on here with. Jacket with his face on, and then a t-shirt with his face on. What does it say there? I'm not Afrikaans, but I know.
Yeah. So I do these videos going, like, I'm not Afrikaans, but I know. But I'll really rip it. So sometimes yesterday I put a video out about my full het geen veer in nie. Which means...
Yeah, I know what it means. All right, so there are two meanings.
The bird. Yeah, exactly. So I'll do that. And there's engagement within it. And, I mean, as I said, it's been crazy. It's been really good. I mean, I've always had a great deal of respect for Afrikaans communities.
How did you end up with Afrikaans as a second language?
So I grew up in Cape Town. I actually had Afrikaans friends, and they used to call me Johan.
How the hell did that happen? Sunil Johan. All right, cool.
Yeah, at one stage, I was going to change my name to Sunil Brandon Sipo Johan Osman.
So you had one of every...
Every language I could understand.
That's very diverse. You're like a diversity, equity, and inclusion person all in one. I like it. All right. And this character's now taken off, so people like it.
Yeah. Well, the character itself was for the movie, but the people are liking the video. So if I go to something and something comes up, I'll just do it. I don't rehearse them. I do it on the spot. If I do a response comment, I respond immediately. I don't do the whole rehearsal because then it's not authentic anymore. Mm. But
you've now got this character in your head, so you don't have to. He's an actual person in your mind.
In my mind, yeah.
So it's not like you have to sit there and fabricate something or think about how he could be funnier. He just reacts naturally.
Yeah, and now I've slipped into just being me instead of the character when I do the videos.
Okay.
So
well, that's good. Psychologically, that means you're not developing multiple personality disorder, which would be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I was on stage yesterday. I was busy emceeing a bingo tournament.
Bingo?
Bingo.
Old people?
Old and young. Yeah.
Oh.
Old and young. Yeah.
Where was this?
This is at Silver Star Casino.
Silver Star on the Wusrand.
On the Wusrand. And hulle ken vir my dan.
Listen, the West Rand is the best rand.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that there's a lot of... that's quite close to Krugersdorp.
It is Krugersdorp, yeah. But I mean, you know, I look at the big box that they put the balls in, and all I can think of is, daar is balle in die doos.
Does Bala any do us?
I cannot say any.
All right. Do you like travel?
I do.
Well, you're in luck because this morning we're going to do the window seat with travel.co.za. Yeah. This is our chance. Every 2 weeks we catch up with someone in the travel industry who can give us some insights, tell us some useful stories, tell us something interesting. Of course, we do this with travel.co.za, which you can go and check out. They've got all kinds of very, very cool deals. The last time we spoke to somebody from Beachcomber, you know, they do all those amazing resorts in Mauritius. And Mauritius is a favorite destination for South Africans. Today, we're going to meet Wilson Toro, who's the country manager for Air France and KLM in South Africa. I know that Air France and KLM are two of the biggest carriers in and out of South Africa. So a lot of people who are traveling to Europe will fly on both of those airlines. So it's a great pleasure to meet you. How are you, Wilson? Nice to see you.
Likewise.
Good to see you. Your first time here. So what do you think of the place? This is Sunil. Don't pay any attention to all his faces of himself on all his clothing. I promise you, he's psychologically very sound. So
yeah, one thing I noticed that you're very cold right now with all your jackets.
Yeah. If we do put the aircon on to like minus 14 degrees or whatever, minus 14. What are we at now? Okay. Tiny. It's the everything's tiny. The whole, we feel like we've just taken an Arctic plunge. This is our form of a cold plunge in the morning. All right. So listen, running these two airlines is a big job. And you guys do a lot of flights. I mean, I've flown on both KLM and Air France. Mm. And if you're going to Europe, it seems like that's one of the most popular ways to get there. So how's business?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a fantastic run after COVID. Obviously, one of the
challenges everybody took a
that
huge
we had
hit.
Was when is travel going to come back to pre-COVID levels? And if you look at 2022 and 2023 and even going on to 2024, you see that the numbers have far exceeded 2019.
Wow.
Which I think is great news for South Africa specifically because we are a country that attracts tourists. And if the route does well, it means that more and more people are coming here.
Right. So you're bringing people in as well as taking people
out.
Yeah. Are your planes fuller coming in or fuller going out?
Oh, well, people usually return. So people going from here or coming the other way, there's always traffic on both ways. But just to give you an idea of how full the flights are, we are roughly around 91% load factor.
Fantastic.
Here.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's very, very good. All right. So tell us quickly, obviously, it's expensive business being in the airline business, and your margins are often quite thin. You have to worry about things like the fuel price. You have to worry about capacity, how full 91%, you said, your planes are. So South Africa is an important place for KLM and Air France to do business.
Yeah, so South Africa is one of the strategic markets for us in Africa. For a lot of reasons. Of course, we have been flying into South Africa from Paris for 91 years.
That's amazing.
Not 91. That's 91. How old the 91. Company is. That's how old the company is. Oh. No, 71 years with Air France.
So hang on, 91 is also how old. You got 91% full flights and the company, and Air France is 91 years old.
Air France is 91 years old. Huh. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And we've been flying here for 71 years out of those. And on KLM.
Felicitations.
On KLM side. We've been flying to Joburg for 85 years. So we have
very
a long
good.
History here. We've been committed to South Africa. And most importantly, I think we're the only airline that continued to fly here throughout the COVID pandemic, which means we brought South Africans back, the ones who were stranded in Europe and the rest of the world. But we also took the Europeans back. So that was, of course, a big exercise for us because getting all the rights, getting all the permissions, especially during the COVID period when the rules were changing every second day, it was quite quite an operation, I must say. But to answer your question, our commitment to South Africa is very strong. We will also increase our capacity to Cape Town this summer season. So all in all, we'll offer a total of 27 weekly flights into South Africa.
Amazing. 27 flights a week.
Yeah.
That's terrific. And there's also a lot of pressure on airlines to be sustainable, be environmentally conscious because they talk about the carbon tax and, you know, your carbon footprint and all of this stuff. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of governments telling us that they can improve the climate by taxing us more, but they pass that pressure on to you guys and you are doing your best to make sure that you keep the kind of impact that you have on the environment to an absolute minimum. How does that work?
Well, I think it needs to be looked at from different angles. You know, the biggest carbon emissions that we have comes from the fuel that we use. Obviously, when you're flying from Joburg to Paris or Amsterdam, we're talking about a few thousands of tons of CO2 in the atmosphere. So that's a responsibility that we take, and we need to do something about it. So that there's many ways of doing it. First, of course, you modernize your fleet because the older aircrafts, you remember the 747s, which were fuel guzzlers, those are all gone. Mm. And now we focus more on twin engine aircrafts. And these twin engine aircrafts obviously have much, much lower fuel consumptions, which means less CO2 emissions. So that's the number one part that we want to focus on. We have a lot of new aircrafts coming in. So we replaced the 737s with the 321. So it's larger capacity.
Right.
But also looking at how can we fly directly from point A to point B without taking too many detours. And that is particularly important in Europe. So if you're flying in from Amsterdam to Madrid, it's not a straight line. You always have to, go according to how the air traffic controllers will direct you. And sometimes it means flying 10, 15 minutes more.
Yes.
Can we replace the domestic connections with the rail combination? So if you're flying from Johannesburg to Amsterdam, do you necessarily have to fly to Brussels? You can then arrive in Amsterdam, and take the train from the airport like straight into
20 minutes to Brussels from Amsterdam.
So there are so many different ways of doing it. Obviously, you cannot take a train from Europe to South Africa, but we're trying to do all of these combinations, work together with the different rail networks in Europe, in France, and also in the Netherlands. And I know that other counterparts in Europe are doing the same. And I think that's really where you can kind of come on, bring in the changes.
Mm.
Can we taxi with one engine instead of both the engines?
Okay.
What can we do with regards to the wastage on board? So 80% of the waste that's collected on board arriving into Paris and Amsterdam is recycled. Oh. So the bigger picture is, can we also do that in the countries we operate? Can we do that here in South Africa? Because I think all of this waste ends up in the landfill, but mm-hmm. there is a possibility of recycling. But the most important one is sustainable aviation fuel. So today we use fossil fuel, which of course is the way most of the aircrafts fly. But we use around 1% of our fuel as sustainable aviation fuel. And sustainable aviation fuel, based on the entire chain of this fuel itself, has around 70 to 80% less CO2 emissions. The problem with SAF is that the production is very low currently.
Right.
We don't have enough SAF in the world, which means that the price of the sustainable fuel is 8 times more expensive than the fossil fuel.
Yeah, and just as a passenger, I don't care enough about the environment for you to drive up the price of my ticket. just because someone somewhere has decided they feel bad about the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. Keep those prices low. KLM, all the KLM flights fly into Amsterdam from South Africa. All the Air France flights fly into Paris.
That's correct. Yeah.
So De Gaulle in Paris and what, Schiphol in Amsterdam?
Schiphol, correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then from there you can do your...
Yeah.
I mean, those are two very, very cool places to start.
Yeah.
Because you can get anywhere from there. If you're going to Europe, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So actually KLM was the first airline in the world. It's the oldest airline, if you know. It's 105 years old this year.
Koninklijke Luchtmaatschappij.
Yeah, I still
right, something like that. Yeah, something like that. That's what
no,
it
but it's
105 for.
Years old. In fact, on the 7th of October, we turned 105.
Wow,
and ironically,
congrats.
Both Air France and KLM were both founded on the 7th of October.
Oh, wow. Huh.
How cool is that, right?
Something to celebrate. That's very, very good.
Yeah, so we had a big celebration on that. But the concept of hub and spoke method, which means that people flying from all over the world into a central point and then connecting to the different parts of the world was started by KLM many, many years ago.
Hmm.
And I think for a small country like the Netherlands, it was important because we don't have a big domestic population to kind of fill our planes. So the right. concept of bringing people from all over the world and connecting them was actually originated in the Netherlands.
And it's such a competitive world, airlines, right? I mean, you're always kind of having to look at what the other guys are doing, where they might be innovating, what sort of advantages you have in the market, what kind of advantages they have. That must keep you very, very busy.
But I think it keeps us busy for the right reasons. You know, if you look at the advancements or the technologies that's been applied in the airline industry, we're probably one of the slowest. I mean, if you look at the likes of Amazon and some of the other, companies that have come up in the last 10, 15 years, they use technology to their benefit. Airline industries are just coming out now. So when a competitor comes up with something new, we embrace that. We embrace that because
sure.
it helps the industry. And I think at the end, if it's something that we can apply,
absolutely.
One of them is the Wi-Fi on board, for instance.
Yeah.
It was
right.
not something that was new. But if you're sitting on an airplane for 11 hours, it's always nice, especially if you're traveling on business, to spend 1 or 2 hours doing some work. Or even stay connected with your family because you have free WhatsApp messaging on board our flights.
That's awesome. Okay, so give us some tips here because I always like to have when we do this feature, which we do with Tervis Travel Services with travel.co.za, I always like people who are in the industry to help us figure out some of the hacks about like where's the best place if you're in economy to book your seat. If you get in early enough, you can still choose where you want to sit. Some obviously have to pay more for, but where do you, if you had to give advice to a friend or family, where would you say the best place to book your seat should be on the plane?
I would say business class.
Oh, well, obviously. Okay, sure. But failing that.
No, I mean, look, the popular seats are usually the bulkhead seats, the ones in
more
first row where you have more legroom, exit row seats, then you've got window. And then, of course, you've got the aisle seats. So those are the popular ones. And if you're traveling all by yourself, it's always obvious that you would want those seats. But sure. If you're traveling with family, then it's always nice to take the four seats in the center, because then you just, you know, you have your own little space for yourself. Yeah. But you have the option of booking your seat at the time of purchasing your tickets and also your bag. So, you know, there is a lot more choices today in terms of where, you know, where you prefer to sit. And you'd be surprised, you know, everybody has their own preference. Obviously, nobody likes to sit in the middle seat, though.
No, not in the middle of a whole bunch of strangers. That's probably the worst possible outcome. But, you know, there are these people who swear that if you book like right at the back, that it'll be better. But that actually doesn't make terribly much difference because, again, you don't know who else is going to be around you.
Yeah.
And the plane has to fill up. Otherwise, you're not making money. So yeah. You're not going to book a plane where there are suddenly five rows that are open. I mean, that would have been bad management on your part, right?
Well, it does happen. Of course, there are some lean periods, especially if you look at the September, October period. If you're looking at April, May, there are some lean periods when the flights are not overly full.
Oh, really? That's when it is. Yeah. So essentially spring and autumn.
Yeah, but you also need to look at the destination that you fly to. So if you're flying to Amsterdam or Paris, it's pretty straightforward. It's dependent on the special occasions here in South Africa, but also in Europe. But if you're flying to the US and if there is a conference happening in New York, I mean, those flights, even though your flights from here are not very full, will be more expensive because the flights from Amsterdam to New York are more full. So it's got a combination of a whole lot of things. But we, over the years, have developed systems that allows us to make some kind of assumptions on what the demand would be. So, you know, there's this misconception that I book 1 year in advance and get the cheapest prices. No, the system knows that on this specific day, there is going to be a demand because it's Easter holidays or it's something else, and then automatically adjusts its prices. So so we have a robust system running behind the scenes. And I think it's important because if you talk about 90 million passengers that we carry as a group every year,
wow,
$1 is $90 million.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, $1 more.
Absolutely.
Is that what it comes down to?
It's an incredible, and it's a very difficult thing to run an airline. So I don't envy you at all. But I'm very happy to meet you this morning and to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
To join us.
Absolutely.
All right. So there we go. If you want to find out more about Air France and KLM, you can obviously hit the web. And obviously, if you want to see what their relationships might be with some of the exciting offers on travel.co.za, you can go and do that too. Make your dream holiday a reality. Thank you very, very much to the country manager, Wilson Toro, for coming in to spend some time with us this morning. It is 7 o'clock. We will be back in just a moment with a whole lot more. It's a busy, busy morning. Sunil is with me. We're going to have lots of fun. Don't go anywhere.